You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kalula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Nikki Kalula. We're going to jump right into this interview all the way from Nashville, Tennessee, but originally from Manchester, England. Is that correct? Did I get that right?
That's correct, man. Yeah, that's,
all
that's
the right.
Got it.
Mr. Johnny Lucas, how are you, Johnny?
How's it going, Nikki? Great to see you, man.
Great to see you, too. I'm sorry that you have no power because of everything that's going on in Nashville. Tell me what's going on with all of that right now.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. We've got... I've never seen anything like this before, man. It's like, we just don't have weather like this in England. So what's basically happening is the trees are, like, it's so cold here that the trees are freezing and, like, getting weighed down by, like, the weight of their ice and just essentially, like, snapping in half and falling onto power cables. So that's why people are losing power. And it's also... 19 degrees outside too.
Ah, that is crazy.
It's going down to 7 tonight, man. So
what?
Yeah.
So what are you burning books or something? What are you doing to stay warm?
Well, fortunately, my next door neighbors have got they have a generator, so we're all just taking it in turns to fill it up with gas and like getting it running because. Yeah, so it's hard work, man.
yeah, I bet. You know what? This is one of when you pull out the guitar and start playing some blues.
I know, man. Yeah, it's definitely got some slide guitar wailing solos to be had here, man.
Well, I'm very happy that you were able to do this interview tonight, especially under these circumstances. And you are a star for doing this interview. But I mean, I'm sure you're like, well, there's nothing else to do for this next hour but just talk music.
This is perfect. Yeah. It's perfect. I've got a laptop and I've got phones, and that's about the end. They're the only two things that are working.
That's amazing. Well, let's go back to the very early days of when you fell in love with music. Tell me what was that moment of zen that made you fall in love with a song or fall in love with a band? Or make you want to sing or make you want to play music? What was that moment of zen for you?
Man, well, I started off playing, I actually started off on classical instruments when I was learning, like from the age of like, you know, from like 11, I started off on the violin and then moved to trumpet and was always in kind of orchestras and that kind of thing growing up. So, it was, it was very kind of that. That was the kind of music that I listened to, and then I guess later on I embraced a bit more of the rock and roll for like the Britpop side of stuff. But yeah, there was a, like, I guess early on it was classical music, and then later on
I started in classical music too. So I was singing.
Yeah, yeah.
So do you remember what you were playing back then?
I'm trying to remember now. It was all kinds of stuff. There was I did a bit of jazz here and there too on trumpet, like a bit in I was a big fan of playing you know that there's a song Maple Leaf Rag. I used to play that quite a bit. And like things with the orchestra as well, which were good. But then later, I think when I was about 15, that's when it took a big turn in terms of going in a more kind of rock route.
Was there a band that made you kind of fall in love with rock music at that time?
Yeah, man. I guess first, I mean, I was definitely like gripped by the whole like Britpop scene at the time. So it was very much like, you know, Oasis, Blur, and all of those bands that were kind of spinning off that at the time. And so, yeah, we're just talking like loud guitars and melodies, kind of like that kind of thing.
I just saw Oasis for the first time, maybe two or three months ago. I was really impressed. They were good. They were really, such a good show.
Yeah, man, that's the I've never seen them. I still want to see them. So yeah, you've done better than me, man. That's
we were into their band way longer. So I mean, you know, I knew some of their songs, but the reason I went, I was like, man, I've heard that they're so big in England. It might be cool to see them at least once, you know, because who knows?
Yeah.
I was like, let's do it. Let's go. Let's see them, you know. And it was great. I was very impressed. A lot of good melodies, good songs, good arrangements. It was just really impressive.
Man, yeah, I bet it's an amazing show. Yeah, it just seems like it's electrifying when you see the footage back from those shows, man. It's that was an amazing show.
So when did you start playing guitar? When did you start wanting to write songs, kind of be a songwriter?
It was pretty much as soon as I started playing the guitar. I was you just learn your first few chords, and then I don't think I realized it.
You remember how old Sorry? You were? How old were you?
I was 15, yeah. So that was when I first started playing guitar, and I just remember learning my first three chords, and then I was like, well, great, this gives me a kind of a little framework to write within. And I was writing songs before I learned how to really play other people's songs on guitar. And I was very much geared towards, the writing. That was kind of what made me want to learn to be a better guitarist, so that I'd, you know, play the songs better.
Well, I mean, it's amazing that you started writing before you were even learning songs. Were you writing poetry or lyrics? Like, how did you know how to write songs?
I had just the melody, like I was very kind of melodic, kind of driven with it, like in terms of I'd just be strumming the chord, and then like a melody would come into my head, and then I just think, oh, I want to, you know, write some lyrics to it. So the lyrics were kind of the last part of the puzzle, and so it was weird kind of making that transition, kind of, you know, what do I, you know, I've got the song, like, now what do I want to say, you know?
Well, that, I mean, it's awesome that you started like that. Did you start like playing in a band, or were you just writing by yourself for a long time?
I was writing by myself for a little while, and then I got in a band a little bit after that, and that was just like, you know, drums, bass, keys, and then I was playing guitar and singing. So that was like, and then I was always pretty much in a band after that. So,
and how did you, when you formed a band, were you kind of like, I want it to be like this style? You kind of, or did everybody kind of formulate their what they wanted the sound to be, and then you just started playing together?
No, I very much wanted it to be, very bad guitars, because I remember everyone telling me, oh, the guitars are too loud, you can't hear the vocals. That was like, that was the bit, and I was just like, no, this is great. Like, and
it's rock and roll, baby.
Yeah. And so I was just that kid that just wanted to, I didn't really mind that my vocal was getting drowned out. I just wanted the guitars to tear people's faces off.
Do you remember what your first electric guitar was?
Yeah, man. It was one that I don't even think I've heard of before, because I got it from this pretty well-known secondhand store in Manchester called Johnny Roadhouse. And it was about, I think it was about £50, like when I got it. It was called a Marlin, and it was black, and it had these microphonic pickups, and then yeah, it was gotta start somewhere, you know.
That's it. I mean, you know what's funny is, like, you know, those early guitars are probably the most important guitars that anybody owns, because it's your first impression of what it's like to have that much power in your hands. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's totally the introduction. It's like all of a sudden you just feel powerful at an age that you're not supposed to feel powerful. So I'm sure you felt like, all right, it's on now, right? It had to be.
Really? Oh, it's definitely very much like that. I was just like, yeah, this sounds like cool.
And where did
you play that E chord, and it's like, yeah.
So, where did you rehearse? Did you rehearse in somebody's garage, or like a back room, or like where did you kind of get it together?
In the very early days, and I was just in my bedroom. So I was just doing. That was where I did pretty much everything, and then it was when I left home. That's when I started adding to gear and getting bits of studio, and then finally getting a studio. So yeah, it was quite in the early days, yeah, bedroom.
That's the way you start, and I'm sure it drove your parents crazy. It drove my parents a little crazy. They're like, what are you doing? That's how it starts. Yep. Yeah, and you know you have power when you start to annoy somebody first. You
know? I know, yeah. It was like neighbors and like all that kind of thing. It was definitely, it feels very, very powerful.
Yes. And then when you started a band, were you rehearsing at somebody's house or in a backyard or something? How did that work out?
Yeah, so we had a rehearsal spot, actually. Just we used to rehearse at the church that we went to. So we would just be rehearsing in there, and that was they would kindly let us open whenever we wanted, really, as long as there wasn't people meeting there. So that was so it was pretty cool to have that spot. It had like a PA and everything, drum set up.
Yeah, and do you remember your first gig? Like, what was that like for you?
Yeah, actually, first gig was it was actually at the church, in the church hall, because so where I was brought up, there was like it's like a little town outside of Manchester called Warrington, and there's not a lot going on there. There's not really a live music venue. There's not a lot of places for kids to go. So we used to open that building up, and just let, you know, because kids just used to hang around on the streets and just kind of get up to no good, that kind of thing. So yeah, we used to let them come and put on a show for them, and it was like it was pretty well attended. Everyone would rock up. It was like a pretty cool vibe down there. So
that's awesome. And it's also like, what are kids doing at that age anyways? Yeah, of course they're gonna show up, you know.
Yeah, totally, man. Yeah, that was definitely what.
Is that when you first got the rush of performing?
Totally, yeah. I mean, it was definitely, I remember that very, very first show, and just the nerves and the just everything, just how it felt afterwards, and, you know, the amount of preparation that goes into it versus how it went on the night. And it's just, yeah, it's this roller coaster, man. When you're first starting off, it's, extreme highs and lows.
I feel like the first gig, there's something about the first gig when you have like even a small crowd there. I mean, you feel on top of the world. It is like, I mean, you're on cloud nine, because it's like you've never done anything like that before. And all of a sudden, here you are performing with your friends, and there's moments where you're like smiling at each other, like, oh my God, this is awesome. And you're just like trying to level with the music. And then there's like, okay, what do you do for your second gig? How did that, were you just playing the same spots for a while? Or like, how did that kind of evolve into what you were doing?
That's it, man. Yeah, there's just so many different elements going on. There's the, you know, the evaluation afterwards, there's like how it all felt on just this cocktail of all sorts of stuff going on. And then, so there, we always wanted to push forwards and like move like into the city and do shows in kind of more pubby, clubby, like kind of actual venue-y type places. And that's kind of what we started to do after that in Manchester. Just got like built a following down there, and yeah, did the local band in Manchester kind of thing.
And were other bands like in similar styles? Were they also influenced by the Britpop thing, or were they doing more throwback stuff?
Yeah, there was a lot of bands doing that kind of style, like just, you know, when Oasis had been, you know, just, you know, after that kind of thing, it, a lot of people chasing that sound. And I'm not even sure if I even sound like that anymore now, but this is just kind of what started it off, you know, the catalyst.
That's what I love. It's like you always see like somebody starts somewhere in a different band, in a different style, and then they evolve into what they're doing now. But it's more interesting to figure out like what influenced those early steps, you know, to get to, you know, where you are now, because everybody somewhere, everybody, and obviously this band broke up. That had to be a little bit hard, like to realize, oh man, this isn't going to be what I thought it was going to be. So tell me what that was like. That had to be a transition for you, right?
Yeah, totally. Well, that was, I down to, I decided that I wanted to, I went to university as well, like to study music at that point. And that meant me kind of living full time in Manchester. And then I think the keyboard player, he left to do a similar thing. So we all kind of went, it wasn't like one person broke it up. It was like everyone was going in different directions. And then all of a sudden it was like, whoa, are we going to rehearse? Probably not. And then, so it just kind of happened like there wasn't really a conversation. We all just stayed friends and realized that, like, you know, the circumstances of all of our personal lives had just kind of moved on.
And you were probably more passionate about music, obviously. So how did you stay kind of in it and still wanting to create music? Was university helping you, going to music school and studying that?
Yeah, definitely. So I did a lot of composition, did the composition modules there. The course was popular music and recording, and that was at Salford University. So that was it was very much geared around just production and songwriting. So I was doing tons. It just felt like I was at that point like totally immersed in it. And I was doing all the, you know, tons of writing, but I didn't really know whether it was for a band or if it was for a solo, but it didn't stop me from writing anyway. I just always was. So
that's awesome. I mean, that's when you really find like if you really want to do this. I went to music school too, and it was one of the things that I started to hate what I was studying. Not that I hated music, starting to not really dig classical music, and I was all I really wanted to do was play guitar and write. I knew that that's what I was going to be destined to do because it's where I wanted to spend all my free time. I didn't care about anything else. So I'm sure you went through this, right?
The exact same thing. Yeah, the exact same thing. I was definitely just, gearing myself, you know, towards, you know, doing more rock, pop kind of stuff rather than, orchestral, which I never really didn't like it. It was just that I was just got so obsessed with the other stuff more.
right. And did you start taking a different approach as far as style of writing or style of music? Were you kind of going more into the songwriter realm? Like, how did that change as you were learning more about music?
I think it actually kind of, it helped a little bit too, because I think at that time I was listening to bands like, you know, Muse, people that do, you know, they have like a kind of big, you know, and I loved a lot of the prog rock stuff, and
yeah,
you know, I got fed up of playing Wonderwall all the time, and I was just like, what else? What else is there? And yeah, and that's when I kind of really branched out in terms of style, just to find, you know, I just wanted from jazz to like hip hop to R&B, just anything I could get my hands on. I was just like, I wanted to just immerse myself like in all of it, really. But obviously rock was still always going to be my main jam. But like yeah, it was yeah, at that point I think I was just a sponge at that point.
And were you still performing like during college? Were you still doing gigs?
Yeah, I was doing gigs. I had a different band at that point, different group of musicians that we just formed, and then there were other bands that I was in, you know, as part of the university. And yeah, so it was very, yeah, a lot of gigs at that time. Yes, all scattered around Manchester.
That's awesome. And did you go to London to play ever, or was that too far and too much kind of craziness to get there?
Yeah, well, at that point, yeah, London seemed like a big deal. Like, you know, you didn't want to just rock up there and kind of make it up as you go. But that actually came a little later on, just maybe after I finished my course. I got management in Manchester, and they were based in London. So they awesome. Actually, yeah, kind of through them, I got connected into the London scene, and I actually spent about 8 years after that in London.
You know what's crazy? I played in London. I think I talked to you about it. And I played at, I think, the Blag Club in Notting Hill. I played at Monkey Chews, which is no longer there, in Camden.
Yeah.
Played a couple other spots. And when I was kind of blown away, it's like London has so many little pockets of towns that you play in. They're like suburbs, but
yeah,
it's so hard to like tackle all of them, or like get, you know, like it's kind of amazing how London is just a bunch of little cities amongst a big city. You know what I mean? So it's like you're playing in all these different little cities trying to like tackle, you know, like all these different parts of London. Did you find it overwhelming? Because I found it a little, it was like New York City. It felt a lot like New York City to me.
Yeah, definitely. It is very much like that. It just kind of, it never stops unfolding. And there's like these other pockets. Like, yeah, it's because at the start, I was just like, wow, oh yeah, I think I've been to London now. And I know what the main part of London is. And then, you know, I find out this other part of it, and I'll be like, oh, that's and then you just find out all these other parts like going on everywhere, and you're like, oh my goodness, this is just, and it's so vast, like it's so big. So yeah, it did, I mean, it's a city where you have to really spend a good, you know, I would say 3 or 4 years to even know kind of, you know, where you kind of fit in all of that. And yeah. So it was a little overwhelming at the start.
And you were there, you said, for how long? 8 months? Longer than that?
Oh, no, 8 years I was in London for.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
and
man. And
how did you feel like the music scene was while you were there? That's incredible that you spent that much time there. It's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it was tough at the start, I think, to break in, and it just came through like just doing, I just gigged so much there, just worked and worked and worked, and I was out every single night. There were some years where I was doing maybe like 250 gigs, like, wow, just doing it. Like, so yeah, because to get around it, I was just a yes. I was the yes man. Like, any gig, I'll do it. I just want to be in front of people. And yeah, I had my songs. I had, I had like a couple of records out at the time. And I was just like, I just want to work these into the ground until And yeah, just hope that over time you just gradually kind of know where you where you're at. So yeah, through doing that, it was really cool because I just met some just, it was all just through different connections, man, and all just through different yeah, just networks of people that, you know, they see you play once and then just, oh, let's, you know, let's getting back to do something else. And then, yeah, before you knew it, I was like, yeah, just kind of had a steady kind of calendar full of shows organized, which was nice.
Well, there's a certain kind of like hunger when you start like that, where you're just going after it. And it's like, I miss that. Like, I'm 47 now. I don't have that same fire, but I miss that fire sometimes where it's like, yeah, I'm just going to do 7 gigs in 4 days and then, you know, wake up early and do a farmer's market or a radio show or something to get the music out. It's like, I could not do that now. There's no way I would just implode if I had to try and do any of that. And it's weird. There's so much fire and you're like, let's get into it. Let's just jump right in. You know, it's like one of those.
Yeah. Things. Yeah, I know, man. I sometimes miss that, just that fire and the amount of energy that I had to just go for it back then, which was cool. But I think, yeah, I think it is kind of unsustainable at the same time to do that because it's like,
yeah, and it's also like, I think part of it is like the curiosity is lost once you do something like that. So that's what's driving a lot of that energy is like, yeah, I'll do it. I've never played that club before. Well, yeah, I'll do it. I've never played this, you know, art walk or, you know, farmer's market, yeah, whatever it is. And then once you do all those things, when somebody asks you, you're like, well, I don't really need to do that. That's cool. Like, you know, it's like, you know, yeah, what to say no to. So did you kind of start declining in doing less, like you started doing less gigs and better gigs, hopefully, or just like being very circumspect about what you wanted to play or where you wanted to play?
Definitely. Yeah. I think, one of the big factors was, I was gigging so much that I didn't really have any time to write as much anymore. And that was like one of the, you know, that was the biggest like passion of all for me, which was writing. So, yeah, it was, sometimes just felt like I was the, you know, the show pony going around like doing show after show. So, I think as I matured a little bit, I realized, you know, that you can't just be, the kid in a candy store just doing gig after gig. And you have to kind of narrow down what you actually deep inside and kind of, yeah, and obviously I never sat down one day and decided it just was such a long process of like, just things adding up to kind of point me more in that direction.
Well, let's play something and then we'll talk about your move to Nashville. What do you want to play
next?
What do you want to play first? Your choice.
Well, I think we're living in the snowpocalypse right now, so I feel like Save Our Breath would probably be the best.
All right, here we go.
Yeah.
Here's Save Our Breath by Johnny Lucas.
Sleep. Oh, you know I feel the same about the hurricane on our just in my head. It keeps me up when I'm in my bed. I'm spinning around the words that you said.
Thanks, man.
You know what's cool? It's like, you know, I think it's the band, is it Young Royals? What's the, they're from England too. Royal Blood, Young Blood?
Oh, Royal Blood. Yeah, Royal yeah, yeah. Blood,
like to me. Man.
I like, man.
That's, and you were getting that like gritty guitar sound from the bass, right?
That's right. Yeah, a lot of that's the bass with like, being put through an octave, yeah, which was, yeah, obviously, yeah, Royal Blood definitely, yeah, pioneered that sound, but yeah, it was kind of mixing that with some other guitars as well to get, yeah, just kind of a cool tone. So
yeah, killer songwriting, killer arrangement, just killer sounds. Just it was really well put together. Tell me what your concept was with it. Were you influenced by Royal Bloods? Were you just like, I want to do something in that style that's got that vibe?
Yeah, I was, yeah, Royal Blood are an influence. And also was it, yeah, at that point, obviously, yeah, this is kind of around, I think it's like 2021 that came out. And yeah, I was listening to a lot of just American bands as well. So yeah, it was, a lot of kind of Cage the Elephant, kind of a lot of more kind of groove based, like kind of Black Keys as well, like that kind of thing. So yeah, it was trying to think of what other kind of flavors other than just rock to kind of put in there too. So I love kind of adding those kind of synth parts in there too, just to kind of, yeah. So that was, it was kind of like at that, for that song, it feels like a kind of cool mesh between the British rock sound and some other like American psychedelic influences.
It's so cool. It was like you had this gritty bass guitar that was like a rock guitar riff, and then you had just like a good, those are real drums, I assume, right?
Yeah, real drums. Yeah, man.
And it's just a great feel. Whoever that drummer is, that's a great feel drummer. It's he just.
Yeah, that's Ben Toole. Yeah, he's a great drummer in Nashville, and he's done a whole bunch of touring for different artists, and yeah, a lot of session work as well. But yeah, it was awesome to team up with him at that time and for him to be on the record, man.
Well, let's talk about you moving to Nashville. How did you decide to come to the United States and also to come to Nashville of all places? What made you kind of go in that direction?
Yeah, man. Well, yeah. So through doing all the gigging in London, and at that time, this was kind of like, yeah, I was playing all around kind of Europe and doing festivals, that kind of thing, and ended up like just feeling like I wanted to branch out, and I think I just had a deep kind of hunger to come to America and do music here. That was definitely, and I can't really explain that. It was just kind of like, it sounds a little, kind of cliche, but just like the total American dream. But that's kind of just what I had, like, kind of that I always felt like that's where I wanted to be. And I can't really explain that either. But yeah, it was, yeah, so through doing a whole bunch of touring, I just got to play with a band, an American band called the Thomas Ian Nicholas Band, who I don't know if you've come across him at all, but he's actually the actor in one of the actors in American Pie, but he has a band. It's kind of like a punk rock band, and we actually played quite a few shows and traded them back and forth. So I got him at that time. I was also booking a stage at Glastonbury, so I was able to get him to play there. And so him and I played that show, and then in return he got me like a full tour of the West Coast, and we went up and did, yeah, got like a residency in Hollywood for a little bit, like doing it was like Bar 20, Sunset Strip, and then did like Molly Malone's, and they played the Whiskey A Go Go and the Viper Room, those kind of spots. And then and that at that time I was like, this is I have to come here like and live. This is, and so during that whole tour, there was like, I think we had a couple of days off, and we decided to visit friends in Nashville, and then it was basically I went out and hustled and met, because at the time I really wanted to publish a deal and find representation through publishers, and so that was what I was looking for. So I just went meeting as many people as I could, and then in the end I signed a deal in 2016, and it was actually through them I was able to, because you need a sponsor if you're going to come to the US. So they were happy to do that, and then they were based down on Music Row, and I was brought into a whole different world of writers, and that's kind of opened the door to really kind of push forwards as a producer and a writer, as well as, you know, obviously keeping my artist project going.
Right, that's awesome. Let's play something else. I want to get all these songs. Yeah. You want to play next?
Shall we roll with Golden Day?
Golden Day, is that what you said?
Yeah, Golden Day.
Here's Golden Day by Johnny Lucas.
I saw you.
awesome, super hooky, man. I was just grooving to that tune. Great melody, great song, great arrangement. Tell me what your concept with that song was. What influences?
Yeah, so with that one, it was just, influence-wise, I really was influenced by that kind of, you know, the Muscle Shoals kind of sound. I was just leaning into, you know, that kind of more groove-like based thing. And, like, yeah, not pushing the whole saturation with the rock so much, but kind of in that getting some nice kind of soulful tones and there. And, yeah, kind of strat solos, that kind of thing. So, yeah, I felt like it. And also, obviously, I wanted to keep, yeah, the chorus kind of melodic and something that people could sing to, just to kind of like, you know, lift up everyone's spirits a little bit, you know, after, I guess, like, the first song was written during COVID and, like, it was very much off the, like, a post-COVID song. And, you know, I was just at that point with Golden Day, I was just like, you know what, I just want to say that things can be nice sometimes too, you know.
Well, you can't have one without the other, you know what I mean? So
I know, yeah, totally.
It's really just that. It's that simple. But I mean, it's tough to see sometimes, you know. It's like you can get into a phase where you're riding in one emotional context, and it's good that you kind of shifted gears. You must have had some inspiration in that moment. What was that inspiration to make you write Golden Day?
It's definitely to do with my daughter, and, you know, because I'm, you know, my daughter's two, but, you know, I was recently, yeah, just became a dad. So it was like, yeah, man. So definitely, yeah, with, you know, family in mind, and it just feels great to be, you know, starting a family in America. And like, yeah, we're just like, things just kind of shifted gears at that point. And yeah, just like incredibly grateful.
That's awesome. Tell me about the scene for you in Nashville, coming from Manchester and London. Tell me what the scene was like for you making that transition.
Sorry, say that one more time. I think it just dropped out a little bit.
Tell me about the scene, the music scene for you in Nashville, having come from Manchester and London. How is it different? How is it?
Yeah, well, that's, Nashville by far was the scene that I was always deep down looking for. And yeah, just, I never really found that there isn't what the scene in Nashville, you just don't get in London at all. It's like, because Nashville's just, it's a lot smaller than London for a start, but like the concentration of musicians is just like, it's crazy. So yeah, every single night you meet people that do what you do, and it's like, it's so inspiring too. And yeah, just had this amazing kind of, oh, I'm finally home kind of feeling, like, in terms of when I first got here. There's just so many, like, coincidences. Like, I felt like in London, you'd tell people that you're a musician, and they'd be like, yeah, but what do you really do? Like, that kind of thing. But, like, I remember getting in an Uber when I first got here to Nashville, and the driver asked, what do I do? And I was like, I play songs and like them. And she was like, welcome home. I'm like, yeah. I was just like, what? You're supposed to say, like, what do I really do? Like, this is great. And I think at that moment, I just realized, like, wow, I'm in a place where this is totally, you know, it is the acceptable, you know, perfectly acceptable profession to do here. So I was just like, I love being part of that scene for sure.
Like, did you start playing at a lot of venues, or were you kind of like trying to go more the producer route and kind of like recorded music and
a little bit of both. So yeah, it what kind of happened here was I still did quite a lot of shows, but I wasn't fully as dependent on that for my only outlet as as an artist. So through doing, obviously, through the publishing deal that I had, I was being set up with in writes and sessions, you know, sometimes twice a day, and I was just getting to be, found that I was getting really kind of quick at writing songs and producing them as well. And that kind of, you know, what used to take me a week in London, I was able to do it in like a few hours all of a sudden, like in Nashville, just through just repeat, like kind of the repetition and the muscle memory of, and obviously one big thing here is, I hadn't done a co-write either in London. I hadn't co-written with anybody. I was a total solo. Writing for me was just a solo thing that I did, you know, 3 a.m. when I was on my own. And Nashville was like the first place where it kind of, see, it was petrifying at the start because I didn't want to share. I just didn't know how to like share like kind of the creative like spec, or like, you know, you'd so kind of protective of your kind of, you know, creativity to start with. But then it didn't take that long, but like, yeah, after a while I was just like, oh my goodness, I prefer writing with people. And after a few months I was just like, let's just do this all the time, this is great.
Well, it's like a muscle too. It's like, once you start working that muscle and you start understanding how to collaborate, it becomes like, oh, this is another pathway to creativity. I want to just keep, you know, understanding this, you know, it just makes it more powerful, you know, it makes you more powerful as an artist.
Definitely. Yeah. And it's, it definitely did. And it allows you to open yourself up to, you know, other people's influences and ideas. And it's just so difficult to get any kind of writer's block when you're always like open to like other people kind of moving the song along, and you're not just carrying the whole weight of it on your own two shoulders, you know.
that's I love collaboration for that reason. It was like I wrote a lot of music by myself. And then when I started a songwriting team, it was like, oh, this is cool. It's like you have different minds coming together, throwing things in the pan, throwing things in the ball, like just to see what can work. And you tend to like, oh, okay, you run by the speed of everybody in the room. And that's what is a great creative tool to learn how to write in. It's like gauging what's then writing towards.
Yeah, and it's great to start off when you're doing it on your own, because obviously that's always the passion, and that's what got you doing it in the first place. But yeah, I think it's definitely, yeah, collaboration is really where you grow and like grow into, you know, things that you never even thought that you could do. And yeah, that's, yeah, super exciting, man. Because yeah, every week I'm fortunate enough to have, you know, sessions with different people who always bring amazing things to the table.
Right, I love that. Well, let's play some more music. What do you want to play last?
All right, shall we do? Yes, actually, speaking of collaboration, yeah, this song was written with Mr. Dave Tough.
I love that.
Yes. So yeah, that was super cool to get to co-write and produce this one with him. So we'll go with I Like It Like That.
Here's Johnny Lucas with I Like It Like That.
Like that. Swimming pool. like that. We like it like that. We like it like that, sugar. We like it like that. We like it like that, sugar. Why ain't I like an acrobat? Hey, hey, we like it like that. Are you feeling good now? Come on, join the party. We like it like that.
That's awesome. I love it. Very hooky, man. Is that Dave playing guitars or is he, what was he doing on it?
Yeah, he helped a lot of the production, like kind of the vibe ideas and then, drums and bass lines, that kind of thing. Guitars, was pretty much me. And then, vocals obviously, but then it's mainly just drums, bass, guitars and vocals.
It's got a vibe and it's got like that Strokes, it's kind of got the Strokes vibe and it's kind of got like this almost a Sonic Youth vibe, you know. It's got like this Ramones Sonic Youth meets the Strokes vibe, which is really cool.
Oh, nice, man. That's cute. That's a huge, huge comp. Thank you so much, man. Yeah, that's definitely what we were going for with this one.
It sounds so great. Where can people find you if they want to find you online, they want to find your music?
Yeah, so you can find me on Spotify under Johnny Lucas. And my website's Johnny Lucas Official. Everything there, all socials are on the website and everything, and then usually my handle's Johnny Lucas Official, and there's no H in Johnny, it's just J-O-N-N-Y and then Lucas.
I love that. You know, you don't see a lot of Johnnies with no H, right?
Yeah, I know, man. I don't. Yes.
So you have to be original already, just based on that.
Well, I know, man. It's normally people just put the H in anyway.
That's funny. Yeah, that's fine. Well, you know what? Usually people don't put the H in mine because everybody calls me Nikki. You know what I mean? So it's like, so you know what? What's an H between friends, right?
That's cool. We both have a silent H.
That's right. Exactly. Well, Johnny, you are a tremendous songwriter. I'm glad we met at NAMM. Thank you, guest on Wake Up Hollywood. I'm going to have you back in about 9 or 10 months. So remember the songs to play. Yes, that's the whole point of this. It's like we just keep building a story with every artist that we showcase. And man, your music's awesome. I really loved it. I'm glad we met. And thanks for being a guest on Wake Up Hollywood, man.
Nikki, thanks so much, man, for having me. And glad we met at NAMM too, man. And it's been awesome chatting with you tonight. And really appreciate it, man, and look forward to doing it again.
Would you, me, and Dave Tuff have to write a song? You better tell Dave that I said that, all right?
Oh, yeah, let's definitely do that. I'm totally down for that, man. Yeah, we should totally make it happen.
Well, we'll make it happen. On behalf of Johnny, myself, and Sam, we'll see you guys next week. Take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. Johnny, you better stay warm. It's going to be a cold night, all right?
I'm trying, man. I'm trying to feel that cold eating my feet.
Well, you know what? Don't burn any guitars. Burn everything else, all right? Burn a rug. Okay, burn a couch. Don't burn a guitar yet, okay?
All right, man. There's no way I'll be doing that.
Peace and love, everybody. We'll see you guys next week. All right, thanks. We out.
listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Corulla and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.